Shesolezin behozonashana behozonashana weyahineya Shesolezin behozonashana. By our prayers we have harmony. By our prayers we are able to walk in peace and in harmony. In Psalm 46, we are exhorted to be still and know that I am God. That is what God says. He exhorts us, be still and know that I am God. We all live in a very busy world. We live with a lot of noise and a lot of chatter and a lot of tweets and a lot of Facebook updates and a lot of news and a lot of just noise coming at us from every which way. And we have lost the ability. We have lost the discipline. We have lost the art of being still and remembering who God is. I want to share with you three stories this morning about how God has been working in my own life to remind me, to call me, to discipline me, to teach me what it means to be still. I have a daughter. She's 4 years old, and her name is Shandine. Shandine is a Navajo word, and it means sunbeam or sunlight. In the traditional Navajo belief system, it is good, it is well, if you rise up early in the morning and you run towards the east and you greet the sunrise with your prayers. Unfortunately, that practice has been lost by many of our Christians as we were told to worship more in the Western way. But there are a few people who are trying to use that tradition to remember who God is. And so every morning I've been getting up for the past several years and walking up a hill near my house and watching the sunrise. I shouldn't have been surprised when my daughter began wanting to come with me. My daughter named Shandine. And so every morning my daughter and I wake up and we walk up the hill and we greet the sunrise. We sing the song that I just sang. Sometimes we sing another song. And as the sun is rising, we pray. And we ask Jesus to be with us and to be with our people and to bless our land and to lead us in the ways that we need to walk. Now, some of you have maybe seen a sunrise when you stayed at a hotel and you forgot to check the alarm the night before and someone set it for 6 and you were meant to get up at 8 and it went off and you were awake and you couldn't go back to sleep. So maybe you stood in the window and watched the sunrise. Or maybe your church had a sunrise service and once a year you would get up and walk out to a field or to a park and go and watch the sunrise. It's good to watch the sunrise. But let me tell you something I've been learning as I have been practicing the discipline of greeting the sun every morning. Probably 4 or 5 times a week, I will wake up with my family or with my daughter and go and watch the sunrise. And there is something very different when you see an occasional sunrise and when you see the sunrise almost on a daily basis. Some mornings you're walking up the hill and you're feeling on top of the world. You've had a great day the day before. You've had some accomplishment at work. You've done something with your family. You're feeling strong and you're feeling wonderful. And you're walking up the hill and you stand there in silence and you wait and you see the sky begin to change color and you see the first Shandine, the first sunbeam just peek over the horizon. And then it gets bigger and bigger and brighter, and soon you can't even look at it. And you're reminded, you're not that great. You're not that powerful. For all that you've done, or for all that you could do, you can do nothing to control this sunrise, this piece of artwork that's being created right in front of you. And you're reminded how small you are, and how powerful, and how wonderful, and how big God is. Other mornings, you're walking up the hill and you're feeling horrible. You've been confronted with your sin. You've been feeling the shame and the guilt and all of this turmoil going on inside of you. And you can barely put one foot in front of the other as you walk up the hill. And you stand there in silence, not even knowing what to say. And again, the sky begins to change. The light begins to come. And the first Shandine peeks over the horizon. And you remember that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Other days, you walk up the hill and it's cloudy. You even wonder if you should bother going up. And you're walking up the hill and it's still dark and it's still dreary and you can barely see the sky beginning to change in the horizon. But you stand there because you know that behind those clouds, there's a beautiful, awesome, gorgeous sunrise taking place. You stand there and every day in the springtime, the sun moves a little bit north. And every day in the fall, the sun moves a little bit south. And you remember the order that God created. You remember that He set this whole thing in motion, and it is so much bigger and so much more wonderful and so much more magnificent than you could ever do yourself. And you remember that you are just a clay pot, and God is the potter. God is the one who makes you and molds you, and He is the one who uses you. And He uses you when you're on top of your game, and He uses you when you're barely able to stand before Him. Because it's not about who you are. The sun rises every morning. And it's wonderful, it's beautiful to be reminded of that. A few years ago, actually about 7 years ago, my family and I was living in Denver. And I was pastoring a church there. And we felt called to move back to our reservation on the Navajo Reservation in the Four Corners area, and we moved down to Arizona. And I had grown up off the reservation in a border town called Gallup, New Mexico, but I had never lived on the reservation. And so I wanted to experience this life that my people had experienced for years and centuries. And so we found the most traditional place that we could live. And we moved out to a hogan on a dirt road, 6 miles off the main road, no running water, no electricity. We told ourselves we would be there for at least 1 year, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult it was. But we ended up staying for almost 3. While I was out there, God began to teach me, to really help me to understand what it means to be still. I remember one winter, the roads out there are dirt, and actually they're clay, and they're so slippery when they get wet that I don't care how big your 4x4 is, you're not going to get through because it's like driving on an oil slick. And one winter, in the winter, you can actually get in and out because at night it freezes. Every day it's clear, but at night it freezes. And so you can drive out in the morning when the ground's frozen. Well, one spring, while we were there, we had a horrible snowstorm. It lasted for about a week. And it was snowing, raining almost every day, but it wasn't freezing at night. And so we couldn't get out. And so we were stuck in our hogan. And it was the most bizarre experience because here we were, a family of 3. It was my wife and my son and I, plus the family who lived on the sheep camp with us. And every day there was snow outside. It was beautiful, warm days, but we couldn't do anything. We couldn't go anywhere. We had no electricity. We couldn't even do much of anything. And we just sat there in the stillness. And one day we woke up and it had been pretty cold that night. And we saw that the ground was a little frozen. So we thought, oh, we can get out today. So all 6 of us piled into our car and tried to drive out the 6 miles to the dirt, to the main road. Well, we got about a mile and the sun came up. And the road started melting. And we got about a mile and a half and we realized we're not going to make it. So we turned around and tried to come back. And within about 5 minutes, we were just stuck about this deep in mud. And we actually had to get out and walk the mile back to our house, and our car sat out there for several days until we were able to finally dig it out and drag it home. And during that time, we sat in this hogan. Things were still, things were quiet, nobody came by, and it was a very surreal experience for us, where you felt completely cut off from the rest of the world. But in that stillness, we remembered God. We were reminded of who God is and what He's done. I do a lot of work around the world with indigenous peoples. And all of you remember the tsunami that took place several years ago. And you heard the reports of the devastation that went on all throughout the Pacific Ocean. the villages in India and Sri Lanka and all these other places where entire communities were just wiped off the earth by this huge wave. And I remember at that point we were on the reservation and we were attending a church there, and you were hearing news reports of all these churches and all these organizations and all these governments promising to send millions and millions of dollars to help these victims of this tsunami. And we were not talking about it at all on our reservation. And I was troubled by this, and I thought, what can we do? How can we connect our people who are living in very difficult times right here in our own land, that there are people out there who are also having hard times and we need to go and help them? And our community is very relational. And so I thought, maybe rather than just writing a check and sending our $50 off, which is all we could probably get from our church, maybe a couple hundred, maybe I will try and go and take them to a ministry personally, where I can shake the hand of the people that we're giving the money to, and I can meet them and talk with them. And so I was able to arrange it, and God opened the doors, and I traveled, and I was going to Sri Lanka. And we traveled all throughout the country of Sri Lanka, and we went to different villages all along the coast. And it was amazing, the devastation that we saw. The trees that were moved, the villages that were wiped out, and the lives that were taken. Every village we went to, it was another story of devastation, of what happened and how the people were caught by surprise and how this village was destroyed and how many people died there. And then we went to one village. And in this village, they showed us all the buildings that had been destroyed. And I was waiting to hear how many people died in this village. And my guide said to me, he said, actually, there were very few people in this village who died. He said, this is a more traditional village. And the morning that the tsunami hit, they were sitting outside. And they saw the birds flying back from the coast. And they saw the animals leaving the shoreline. And they said to their people, we don't know what's happening, but something isn't right. And we need to evacuate. We need to move back. And so the village evacuated before the wave ever hit them. The rest of the world, even our country, with all of our sonar buoys and all of our satellite images and all the technology that we had, most of the world was taken by surprise when this wave hit. But this village wasn't. They weren't surprised because they were still. Many people cried out in anger, God, how could you do this? You never warned us. You never told us. And this village, I would imagine, said, yes, he did. We saw what was happening, and we had to leave. The world is a very, very, very noisy place. It's getting noisy day by day, hour by hour, the things we are being bombarded with. And brothers and sisters, I believe it's up to the church. It's up to the people of God to be prophetic, not by standing up and shouting and bellowing, but by being still and listening for the voice of God. In 1 Kings chapter 19, there is a passage there. Elijah has been running from Jezebel. She wants to kill him, and he is on the move. And he goes up this mountain, and the Lord says to him, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out, and stood at the mouth of the cave. And there God spoke to him. We live in a world where sometimes the only way God can speak is to send tsunamis and earthquakes and all of these things around us. But God doesn't always speak that way. In fact, many times, His voice is a still small voice, a gentle whisper, something barely audible unless you are listening for it. Brothers and sisters, the exhortation of the Lord to you and to me and to the church: be still and know that I am God.
Shisodezin behoshona shana, behoshona shana, behoshona shana.